Well, I'm glad you're here today, and glad Jim didn't scare you all off because I was preaching today. So, I really have a better appreciation of what Jim has to do Sunday in and Sunday out, because it takes a lot of preparation and a lot of time and effort to get ready for this. And I just hope that it won't be my words, but it will be the Lord's words that you hear today. But if you're new, I'm just the pitch hitter today. So if you want to hear the real thing, come back next week. Okay? But today is Father's Day. And in honor of Father's Day, I'm going to be dealing with a passage that deals with men in this world. And then first off, I just want to tell you, men, that you're important. That you are really important to God. In Genesis 1:26, then God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of heaven, and over the livestock, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." What a great gift. God put us here in His likeness and gave us dominion over everything here. Just amazing to think that the Lord God, the God of the universe, would do this, would give us that responsibility as men. And are we taking that responsibility seriously? You're important to the world too, men. Do you realize that 70% of all prisoners come from a fatherless home? And 63% of all teen suicides occur in homes where the father is abusive or absent. Men, fathers, grandfathers, you're truly important. So, if you would, turn to Psalms 128, those of you that have a Bible. This is called the scripture. It's a scripture of ascent. And what it means is these were psalms, these were songs, these were prayers that the Jewish people sang as they went to Jerusalem on their way for the different festivals. There usually was three annual festivals, and they sang these songs or prayed these songs. This is also called the marriage prayer because it was sung or said at many Jewish marriages. And it gives a real good lineup or a good outline of what we should do as men and women and how we should treat each other. Blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in His ways. You shall eat the fruit of the labor of your hands. You shall be blessed, and it shall be well with you. Your wife will be like a fruitful vine within your house. Your children will be like olive shoots around your table. Behold, thus shall the man be blessed who fears the Lord. The Lord bless you from Zion. May you see the prosperity of Jerusalem all the days of your life. May you see your children's children. Peace be upon Israel. Well, let's break this down a little bit. Blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in His ways. So it starts with fear the Lord. But this is not like going and cringing in the corner and just thinking that God's going to put a lightning bolt down and knock you out like that. No, this fear of the Lord is a respect and an honor and just the opportunity of loving the Lord and walking in His ways, following in His footsteps, doing as Christ did. And it goes on to say that if you will follow these things, then you will be blessed. Doesn't mean you're going to have $1 million. Doesn't mean that you're going to have the most beautiful wife in the world, but it means you're going to be blessed with the Lord. You're going to have that peace. You're going to have that calm. And the Lord is going to bless you with children and with other things that come along the way. It goes on to say, you shall eat the fruit of the labor of your hands. You shall be blessed, and it shall be well with you. The fruit of your labor. This is, the Lord put us on this earth to work. It's not a dirty word, as we were talking in Sunday school today. We were put here to work and to do the Lord's will. And as you work honestly for the Lord as you do the right things in your work, whether you're a teacher, whether you're a retailer, or whether you just clean up for something. If you do it as if you're doing it for the Lord, you'll be blessed. And believe me, if people know that you're a Christian, they're watching you. I don't think they're watching for you to fail, but I think they're watching for you to see if you really do what you believe, that you truly will follow what the Lord says to you, that you will work as if you were working for the Lord. And the real challenge to that is when nobody's watching. Do you still do the right thing? Or do you say, well, nobody's watching, I can get away with this or get away with that? Like you said, the real challenge is doing it when no one's watching. But especially your kids. Your kids are always watching you. I mean, how many times have you said something and then your kids repeat it after you and you go, uh-oh, I know where that came from. Right, Gary? So, you know, it says if you work like you're working for the Lord, you'll be blessed and it shall be well with you. You'll have that peace within you. It goes on to say, this moves from now from the individual, from the man to his wife. It says you will be fruitful. Your wife will be like a fruitful vine within your house, and your children will be like olive shoots around your table. What does a vine need to grow? You farmers know. Needs the soil and light and nourishment and water. Like my wife, she's probably one of the folks that I know has such a great green thumb. We've got plants all over the place. We've got vines growing all over our fireplace, and we have people say, want to know if they're real or not. And they're real. And even my mom thinks has a green thumb because she brings her African violets over to her in wintertime, and when she gets them back, they're better than when she brought them. But that picture there of nourishment and support and growth, I mean, for your wife, how can that be given to your wife? We have an example in Ephesians 5. Let me just quickly go there. It says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word. And it goes on to say further, in the same way, husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. All right? If we love our wives like Christ loved the church, what did he do? He gave his life. He sacrificed for the church. And husbands, you need to sacrifice for your wives. You need to be willing to. Okay? To sanctify, to set her apart, to lift her up, to praise her, to glorify her. And then to treat her as if you would treat your own body. I don't think we as men would go out and try to purposely hurt ourselves. We're not going to go cut ourselves, or we're not going to go jump off a cliff just because we think that's the right thing to do. We're going to take care of ourselves. And in the same way, we should treat our wives that way. And if we do, what does the scripture say? Your wife will be fruitful. Not just in your household with your children and you, but also for everyone she meets. She will go out and she will make your house shine. She will be a glory and an honor to you. You'll something to be proud of. And in turn, your children will be like olive plants around the table. The Jewish families were great for sitting down and having dinner or a meal around the table. It gave them a time to catch up on what was going on. I know in our household growing up, my dad worked a lot of hours. But we usually sat down for dinner together. It might have been a little late, but we sat down together and we learned a lot of things. I know one thing we learned manners, and we got our hands slapped a few times, and my youngest sister, she wouldn't even want to sit next to my father because she didn't want to get slapped or something. but uh, But we learn things, and we learn what was going on in each other's lives, what was going on in our parents' lives, and they learned about what we were doing and who we were seeing. And it was a wonderful time, a time to share. And what better way to share with your children and help them to grow and help them to develop? And I think that's the point of that scripture is that we need to spend time with our kids, just like these pictures of the plants and stuff. I mean, they need your children and your families need nourishment. They need time spent with them. They need water. They need these things. And one other quick point here. It came out of this. Do you know that olive plants can live for over 2,000 years? So when it talks about these olive plants and long life for your children, I mean, I think that's the point of it, is that if you do these things, then your children will live long. So as we move from the father and the individual to the family, it goes on to say, the Lord bless you from Zion. May you see the prosperity of Jerusalem all the days of your life. Well, what is Zion? What is Zion? In biblical times, it was the mountain where God's presence was found. Okay, it was also the city of David, or Jerusalem. And it was also the temple. But what Zion today would be our church. This church. Other churches. You know, how is this church going to prosper? How is this church going to go out and share the word of Christ to all who they meet? Through you. Through you. It's not this building. It's through you. You are the church. You are the church. And it's not just coming here on Sunday and sitting here and hearing the word and going home. It goes back to that picture that Jim always talks about, the Sea of Galilee and the Dead Sea. You know, as we receive things, we should pass it on. Don't just keep it, because otherwise we're just going to become dead. So your church needs you to help and be a part of it. Not just be here on Sunday, but be a part of it. We have a number of volunteers that went on this mission trip with our youth. What a blessing that is to be able to share, to do this fatherly thing with your children, to go out there and spend time with them. And not only will they bless your kids, they're going to bless the people that they see. It's getting involved in your church. You know, we have a choir that meets every so often, and boy, they would do a wonderful job. But they're giving back to their beautiful talents that they have. You know, it's just being involved in your church, whatever it is. And this goes on to say, may you see your children's children, peace be upon Israel. This is a legacy. This is creating that legacy. And what better legacy would you want to leave than to have a legacy through your children, a Christian legacy that you're leaving? They can get a legacy from the world, and it's probably not real good. But by bringing them here, being a part of their lives, showing them and guiding them, you can give a generation a legacy that you can be proud of. So as this moves from the individual to the family to the church, as we go out, this moves into the community, into the state, into the nation, into the world. And you can do it. You know, even though you say, well, I'm only one person, that can still be possible. I mean, I don't think when Billy Graham was born, he didn't think he was going to do what he did with the world. But just look at what one person did for the Christian community and the world, brought Christ to the world. You know, there's how many apple seeds are in an apple, but you don't know how many apple trees are in that apple. I mean, so every one of us has that opportunity to change the world one person at a time. And what better place to start than with your children? You know. Some of you may be asking, what happens if there isn't a father, or if the father is there's one lacking? Well, as we talk, we have a heavenly father. We have a heavenly father who is there 24/7, ready to be with us, ready to listen to our concerns, ready to just pour out his love to you. You know, he is there. He is the father of the fatherless, but he is also the father to all of us. But besides him, there are other people that you can reach out to. There are teachers. There are coaches. There are pastors. There are elders in the church. There are friends of yours that you can reach out and help you get through this if you don't have a good example of a father or have no father. So don't feel like you're by yourself, but reach out to those that are here. I mean, what a wonderful example of all the men that are here. I mean, there's a lot of godly men in this congregation that you can reach out to, and I'm sure they would be glad to help you. But along the way, you know, God gave us this Bible. This Bible to help guide us. It's his holy word and his truth. And if you get stumped along the way, or as a father you don't know what to do, look in here. And if you can't find it, keep reading, because you'll find it and the Lord will bring it to you. But ask and talk with your friends and other godly men to help you through this. You know, I talked about coaches in the essence of leaving examples. We have a man in this community. Most of you know him as Randy Chambers. He's the head of FCA for the Delmarva Peninsula. Randy started out with not such a great, checkered past. He wasn't living a godly life, but he did commit himself to Christ and he turned his life around. And now Randy is the head of the FCA in this state. And he has touched through other people and coaches. He has touched numerous kids on this peninsula. And I know one of the things that he talks about is just the stories that have come out from kids that have said, have got such terrible family lives. You know, we are very blessed in the essence that most of us here, I would say, probably have a pretty good family life. There's a lot of kids that don't. And we have a lot of teachers I know in this congregation, and they see that. And what a wonderful gift that they're able to touch these kids and maybe to give them a little bit of security, a little bit of love that they never had. I know when my daughter Lindsay was in second grade, she had a teacher that every day when the kids came in, she gave them all a hug. And I just thought, gosh, for some of those kids, that's probably the only hug they get all day long. But, you know, God has given us this great opportunity. He made us in his likeness, and he gave us dominion. And he wants us to love each other and to love him. You know. And he didn't just put us out here and abandon us. He's always there. He's always available. You know, and if you're a father that maybe says, you know, I haven't done quite what I should be doing, don't worry about it. Start over. We have the God of second chances and third chances. The whole book of the whole Old Testament is about when Israel followed God, they were blessed. They turn around and they would turn away from him and they would have to face the consequences. But God always took them back. If they humbled themselves, he would take them back and bring them forward and bless them again. So don't give up. If just because you've stumbled or fallen down, go to the Lord, humble yourself, confess your sins, and ask God to come back into your life and to show you and to guide you and to direct you. You know, he is our Heavenly Father. And I know your kids, sometimes they let you down too, but you still love them. And you still invite them back. And that's what, you know, this message is about. It's about loving your kids, loving your family, lifting them up, supporting them, nourishing them, and helping them to grow. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord God, we just pray for all the fathers and mothers in this community, Lord God. We just lift them up to you. We pray that you will touch each and every one of them, Lord God. Help them to nourish their kids. Help them to feed their kids. Help them to grow and to follow you, Lord God. Lord, it is Father's Day, Lord God. And what greater Father than we have is you, Lord God. Help us to learn and to follow your example, Lord God, in all that we do, at work, at home, at church, in our communities, and everywhere that you reach, Lord. And we ask this in Christ's holy name. Amen.